Like, if two flies flew into your mouth and started banging, are you considered as, like, partaking in that, or...?
That is not a sentence I ever thought I would hear in my whole life.
Do we have a list? Because we got to get away from this.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every show you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of that TV series and just trying to see what happened. Joining me as always to do this is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm well.
It's good to see you here. Isolation treating you well?
I haven't been absorbed by a floating orb of light, which is good.
That is a good sign.
Yeah. Every day that doesn't happen to you is a blessing, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Which moves us to our next member of the crew, Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
How does that move to the next Morgan. Member? Is Aaron a blessing?
Yeah, he is a blessing.
Every day, I'm a blessing.
Mm. And he doesn't have got a last name anymore. He just goes by Aaron, like Seal. Mm. Is that right? Mm.
I've ascended.
Like Zardos.
Mm. Like Zardos. And finally...
Aaron.
Finally, Zardos Burgess. Zardos, how are you?
I'm really well. I'm adapting to the change. I get some odd looks when I go and get a coffee. I'll tell you what.
Is it because of the name or because of the sudden change?
Yeah. The outfit as well. Yeah. Mm. I mean, the whole thing is very it's very confronting. So
I can imagine
asking for a flat white gets them off their guard.
I can imagine. But for the listeners who don't know what Zardos is.
This is not a Zardos episode. Google, we're not doing Zardos here.
Google Zardos.
Zardos isn't a television show. You're throwing everyone off.
Google Zardos and you'll see what we're talking about.
It's like a PSA.
We shouldn't have to give our listeners homework straight off the bat.
Well, it's not hard. Just Google it. Anyway, let's jump into the show we're doing. So we're doing the 4400 this week. We do love a early 2000s sci-fi. Well, personally, I do. I don't know about you guys. But they definitely don't age well, and this is definitely no exception to that rule.
Yeah, this is about as early 2000s and sci-fi as it gets.
They could have gone harder on the soft rock.
They could have gone harder on the soft rock. There was plenty of jeans and dress shirts, baggy jeans, dress shirts, skate shoes. So that was all right. Some ill-fitting pinstripe suits, The wardrobe was all there, but the soft rock was definitely lacking. The first episode showed promise, so I'm not going to sit here and rag on the 4400. I haven't made
well,
it
not yet. Yet so, not, you know. Not yet. You will be ragging on it at some stage, though, in this podcast, I'm assuming.
Oh, that's for sure. But
because if you watched the last episode like I did, you're probably going to rag on it.
I also watched the last episode. That's how this podcast works. But the first episode wasn't that bad.
No, I got to admit, I actually kind of... The first episode was a two-parter, so it went for an hour and 25, but we only watched the first part as per the first episode rule that we run by. And I
as
got
per
five
our
minutes
constitution.
In... Exactly. The TIS constitution. I actually
signed
got about
blood.
10 minutes into the next episode. I was actually really enjoying it. I just wanted to see what happened.
I agree.
I don't have an hour and 25 in my day to watch a full two-parter opener of a sci-fi show called the 4400.
That's got to go back to.
No, exactly. Scott, you've watched a little bit of this, haven't you?
This is my One Tree Hill, a la Aaron, going back and just rewatching. You say you rewatch like a bit of the first season or the pilot or something and then you drop off?
Of One Tree Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, every night.
Yeah, every night. Right. So that's what I do with the 4400. I reckon I've gotten up to maybe the start of season two and then I've dropped off. So I do know a bit about it, and I got to say, I was in the same boat, Morgan. I wanted to keep watching.
Scott, was the drop off from the first season as dramatic as from the first episode to the last episode?
Oh no!
Does it give you a bit more of a background?
Just my bar
if you
is
watch
higher
the
than
first
that.
Season? Okay, because right. I still feel like it pivots pretty hard. I mean, it's those three seasons that you've missed out on.
Yeah, definitely. The same move that all these shows make.
Mm-hmm.
44 episodes across four seasons.
Do they do 44 episodes?
Yeah, funnily
how
enough.
Convenient.
Mm.
Ooh. Ooh. Conspiracy theory.
But I feel like a lot changes after season one.
Probably not. That's
because
always conspiracy,
conspiracy
theory. Is that what conspiracy theories are?
What's
probably just
it's like
conscious
a,
choice
it's like
by
a
the
tinfoil, a tinfoil hat compared to like a regular hat.
Yeah. Can someone... So, we haven't got into the episodes yet, obviously, but can someone sort of let me know... When was Heroes running?
I was going to say, this seems a lot like Heroes.
2006. Yeah.
Yeah, 2006. So this finished in 2007. I think that explains a lot of the last season.
Yeah, because this was an 04 launch. I remember when this started on TV.
Yeah, me too.
I remember the ads. They really advertised it heavily. Oh, yeah. I pictured it being a little bit more quality-wise, a little bit higher in terms of the set pieces and everything going on. That was not the case, especially towards the end, but that's probably because the budget got cut and ended up on Sci-Fi. But Mahershala Ali was in this, playing... I mean, clearly before he was as famous as he is now, but... Yeah, a couple of decent actors kicking around in this pilot. It was
a couple of not so decent actors as well.
Well, one.
Yeah, well, it was one decent actor.
Yeah. You weren't happy with two of the cast of Animorphs in the show?
I assume what's his name?
Mahershala Ali, I think it is.
He played
He was in Animorphs.
Yeah, he played the Andalite.
This is kind of funny because my girlfriend walked past when I was watching it, and obviously she hasn't seen the 4400, hasn't seen Animorphs really. She's like, "Are you watching Animorphs?"
And, again,
for whatever reason, I didn't even register that there were some of the same actors from Animorphs, but she obviously picked up on it. Who were the same actors?
Who were they?
And they've got the same sexual tension. So it's Sean. Who goes missing, and Nikki, who's like his
next door
neighbor or something.
Which one?
But they're two of the main ones. The ones, not Marco, not Cassie. No, Cassie. Cassie's the blonde one in Animorphs. And then the main guy, Jake, is Sean in this, who's the guy that goes missing.
Are you sure?
I hope this is making more sense to the listeners than it is to me.
Oh, this is, we're going to cut this out. I'm just explaining for you guys.
Jez's girlfriend will get it.
I think you're wrong.
Of one.
Yeah, you are wrong, Scott. Jake, Patrick Kluger.
No way.
Yeah, it's Sean.
Did
Sean
you not
Ashmore.
Check this?
Well, no, because I was so sure.
Well, you're wrong, because I'm looking at it. I was going to say, because the lead in Animorphs is Sean Ashmore.
No, you're confusing him. He was Rusty in The World's Fastest Indian. That's weird.
Yeah, sorry.
You idiot.
My
now
mistake.
You have egg on
Wait,
your
does
face,
that mean, Jez, does that mean George is wrong as well?
Unfortunately,
no,
I'll break it to her after the...
No, because...
I thought you could say I'll break up with her after this.
The girl that plays Nikki is in Animorphs, 100%. That's her, right? Don't tell me it's not her. I'll lose.
Tell that to the divorce attorney.
You're going to be a witness in their hearing, Scott. George is getting nothing.
Yeah, you're right. She is. She's Rachel in Animorphs. I don't know which one Rachel
was. Yeah, okay, all right.
Like a bear or something.
I'll be half right then.
Yeah. Cat. Yeah. Okay. You got one.
All right. This might be an amicable divorce after all.
Come on. He looks like him.
Oh, he definitely looks like him, but it's not him. So let's.
What was Rachel's power to turn into a? I guess all their powers
anything.
Turn into. Anything.
Power in this or an animal?
Go back. Listen to the episode, Jez.
Her power is to be forgettable.
You clearly haven't watched it enough.
No, you're right. I'll get back to my.
That's why George was saying it. She was like,
"Why aren't you watching Animorphs?
Watching till you actually understand?"
I thought
the show.
I told you to watch Animorphs. Yeah, that's how the conversation went. I thought I could spin it, but you guys saw straight through the lies. For an Animorphs only household, which is kind of like closed circuit, television, and only shows Animorphs. Every channel is just a different episode on repeat.
In like a cage, like in prison.
Yeah. I exist in this kind of bubble where all television is Animorphs.
It's your isolation.
It's like an experiment. Anyway,
should we're getting off topic, which is what we normally do. Let's jump into episode one and try and break this thing down.
As a meteor heads towards California, all seems lost. But before impact, it pulls up for a smooth landing over a picturesque mountain lake. Flash of light and 4,400 people emerge from the shimmering space ball.
I have over 4,000 people that stepped out of a ball of light and landed in my lap. Some of them have been gone 60 years. None of them have any memory of what happened to them.
They get put in quarantine while a crack team of government agents investigate, including our main pair, scientist Diana Skouras and investigator Tom Baldwin, whose nephew is one of the 4,400.
I still can't believe it's you.
How do you think I feel?
6 weeks later, and everyone is released and sent out into the world. Some discover they have psychic powers,
while others find out that their husbands have replaced them and close the door in their face.
I'm just going to jump straight in first, and I want to talk about the chemistry between the two leads. It was non-existent. I think that was...
Are you talking about Diana and Tom?
Yeah.
The lead investigators, right?
Yeah. All the scenes with them were so, like, weird and hard to watch. I'm like, what is going on?
It's Gers, ex-CDC, right?
Yeah, I heard of you too.
Yeah, they really, like, tried to manufacture that... kind of tension right off the bat,
and so it quick.
fell so flat.
Yeah, he likes to be there. The scene when they're introduced, like, he obviously used to work for the Bureau or Department of Home Security,
whatever agency they are.
And he quit to search for his son, comes back, negotiates getting his job back, and she's like, "Oh, this guy, the deserter." Like, why is that? What? People leave jobs all the time, lady. Get over it.
His son has been in a coma. And his cousin mysteriously vanished.
She goes so hard at him for no reason.
No, but she's not even going at him. She's talking to the boss and ignoring him. Like, while like he's standing right there.
You gotta be kidding me, right?
Is there a problem?
He went MIA once. Who's to say he won't do it again?
But even that whole scene was weird. And then, like, later on when they're getting in the car together and she's talking about how I dated a guy once. And he comparing it to his, like, 18-year marriage. And he points it out. It's like, what the hell is... Like... What is this? They're trying to build up this rapport between them, and it's just like a 15-year-old wrote it. It's like, this is how relationships work.
Swing and a miss.
I guess it's like it's a shoddy attempt at like the Mulder and Scully type dynamic, but
sure.
It just doesn't really work with. I don't know whether it's the actors or the writing, but it does not work.
Her name is Diana, so. Dana Scully, isn't it?
But the start of this episode definitely had me in. I was definitely interested in watching this. Yeah,
the intrigue is very intriguing. It's very effective.
Well put.
It's an interesting premise. Like all these people come back missing, and then how do they reintegrate back into society? They really go into like, do we keep them in quarantine? These people have legal rights. We've got to let them back into the community. What happens? Are their families moved on? It's like all of these things in one that they could have unpacked. And they decided to go in a completely different direction by the looks of it. But
as a lawyer, that just ran
out of steam. Yeah.
As a lawyer, how would you handle this situation?
I wouldn't call myself a lawyer. I would sue.
That's not a strong start.
I would go
as
hard
a lawyer, judge why, like that.
Jeremy, as a lawyer, why wouldn't you describe yourself as a lawyer?
It's some sort of tactic. It's a legal move.
I would go hard at the ball of light. I'd sue that ball of light for everything it's got, or if I was to disappear and come back, I would go to the now partner of my law firm's house and rattle his gate until he got impaled.
You know how there's ambulance chases? You're a shimmering space ball chaser. That's where the real money is.
Those people will have a...
You've got billboards on freeways advertising your services to them.
They deserve to be compensated for their, the suffering that they endured in that ball of light. And I'm here to advocate for them and take, 20%.
20% is... That's a good deal.
That's reasonable. Not a lot of lawyers specialize in suing balls of light, so where else are you going to go? Huh?
Now find
someone else to do it cheaper.
Back to the ball of light. I mean, and I want to talk about my favorite, the first scene with the little girl that goes missing, gets captured by the ball of light. I love poor TV parenting. She's like, can I please go inside?
I thought you were about to go in a different direction there, Morgs. But
let me continue my direction. So they let this girl go out of the car in the pouring rain and wander off in the forest by herself.
No, Daddy. I want to go sign play.
Oh, no. You're going to get all wet, sweetie.
Okay.
Yay!
But for just a minute.
Okay.
And I want you to come right back.
She's like 40s. Nine.
Yeah, it's the 50s.
Nothing bad happened in the 40s. Morgan.
Except for balls of light. Balls of light came and collected the kids and took them away.
Well, yeah.
And, the second
They probably
World War,
just thought it was like an A-bomb.
Just an A-bomb. Oh, no, it's just an A-bomb.
I also, Aaron, this is as a licensed physician, how would you diagnose Tom Baldwin's conventional handsomeness? Do you think he fits the mold of like an Aaron from Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
I think he's got terminal conventional handsomeness. There's no getting rid of that.
No.
Till the day he dies.
It's a pretty severe case.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Forgettable handsomeness.
Exactly. That square jaw, you know, nice full hairline.
Yeah, some sharp angles.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying good for a one-night stand? Is that what you're saying?
I think you could put him in as a puppet senator, and I think he'd be pretty good for it.
Okay. Wasn't my question, but all right.
That's the answer you got. Yeah.
The other question I want to ask is, the character Orson, is it just me, or is there something, did they age him up or age him down in makeup? Because he looks weird. Is that me, or did you guys?
I think he's a puppet made by Weta Workshop.
Okay. But seriously.
That explains the New Zealand accent.
Or maybe he's just a really terrible actor.
That's it.
Because that screaming scene at the end where he's gone back to the home of the boss of his former law firm, he's screaming out the front.
Shaking on the gate.
That was, I mean, the special effects of the glass smashing didn't help him out.
No.
Oh, God.
But that scream was not convincing.
Going back to that scene and that little side plot, that really annoyed me. So
as a lawyer?
He goes back to... So he was an insurance... Apparently, he was an insurance salesman, not a lawyer. And he had a firm that he was a partner of. Obviously, they presumed he died when he disappeared because he'd been gone for, 25 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back. The son of his former partner is now a partner. Is that who it was? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Mm. And he's been cut out, which is fine. He lost his job. But then Name's still on the door. Asks for his job back. And the guy's like, I'm sorry, money's way too tight.
I just had to lay off 3 of my actuaries. I don't have any openings right now, Mr. Bailey.
Openings? I'm a partner here.
Later in the episode, cut to his house. It's a fucking palace. It's it's like Saddam Hussein's palace. He's got gold-plated stair railings and...
I don't want to be the person to break this to you, but... I'm pretty sure people that work in insurance are cunts.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like, come up with a better excuse. Money's clearly not tight. You live in a fucking compound.
You can say you're a doddering old fool that's been in nothingness for the last 25 years. You're not having your job
exactly.
back.
Exactly. You're like, I don't know your shit. You're meant to be dead. Get out of here. Not, oh, I'm sorry, money's a little tight. I am putting an extra marble wing on my giant.
My Saddam Hussein replica palace.
Do you reckon you could hire him back at 1979 salary?
I just
pay him like $8,000 a year.
It's cheap. Cheap hire.
He's asking for the 1979 trimmings of employment as well when he's asking for his job back.
Corner office.
Yeah.
Like, I want business cards. I want a secretary.
I want one of those new fax machines.
I want a mobile phone. 4 kilos of cocaine a week.
Yeah, you could seriously fuck with some people about what is real now and like technology that exists. If they've been gone for 50 years.
Is that what you're taking away from this? Fucking with people because they've missed so much time?
Yeah. And they're vulnerable.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. Like, he had an infinite number of excuses to give this guy as to why he couldn't get his job back. Say, oh, sorry, in the future there's no such thing as insurance.
Exactly.
But he's like, no, money's too tight.
Pretend hair.
Could have told him anything.
I get the sense, though, that this character doesn't last very long in the show because A, he's a terrible actor.
Right.
B, it all just seems like it's the two most interesting plots are Mahershala Ali's plot, the pilot, and obviously the Lily, the mother that comes back.
Little girl.
Yeah, not the little girl. No, I was sort of on her, but more the girl, the woman who comes back and her husband's remarried and had another kid, and it's been 12 years.
She got castaway'd.
Yeah,
she really got castaway'd. Geez, that was a really brief and harsh conversation.
Why didn't you come pick me up? Didn't they contact you?
Yeah, you have to try to understand, though. I didn't think I was ever going to see you again. I'm married, Lily.
He knew she was back.
He was just hoping it would blow over.
Yeah, just hoping she'd never show up. Hopefully, just never comes to see her daughter or her husband again. And he's like, oh, this is awkward. Can you leave?
I thought I could just ghost you.
She's kind of hoping your
memory was wiped and you'd forgotten about me.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It's, it's a tasteful way of approaching it, I think. You know, he tries to take the high road. He's a real class act.
Yeah, well, bury your head in the sand.
But no, I found those two plots. That's what I was really keen to sort of see the outcome of.
Only because they most likely get together, right?
I assume so.
Because she looks exactly like she is the granddaughter of his former wife.
Yeah. Well, former lover at the very least.
Yeah. And she looks exactly like her and he's named after her.
Mm.
So, I mean...
He's got her name tattooed on his arm. Mm.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen. There was some chemistry there early on.
Oh, yeah.
So what was she like, my grandmother? Everyone says I look a lot like her.
They were right.
I loved when Mahershala Ali.
I think his name's actually longer than that. It's just that's the shortened version.
That's his stage name. Well, I think the character's name was Richard.
All right.
Richard. Yeah, let's just call him Richard.
Richie.
Thanks for westernizing it for me. When Richard went back to St. Louis and where he used to live, which is now under a bridge with a bunch of homeless people, we told him to step off. And then he tragically wanders back to his old diner that I assume he used to frequent with Lily back in the 50s. And there's just a cavalcade of interracial couples.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. That's
the way they show that the world's moved
on. Well, in this post-racial America, it's like, what has this become? It wasn't like this back when I was a...
Maybe started a thing at that diner. Like,
yeah.
He started it. And then the diner owner was like, that's it. Only interracial couples are allowed to eat in here. Or you eat a half price.
But not just interracial couples, just black dudes with white women.
Not like the other way around. Three or four different tables.
Not in my diner. No, not the other way around. Not like Asians or any other race.
Just, he's a black dude. He's got to identify. Yeah.
it's like a themed diner in his honor.
He was struggling to come to terms with that.
Richard Tyler Memorial Diner.
Walks out, doesn't look at the plaque on the wall. What a missed opportunity.
And then a bunch of punks come in, and he starts like lighting up a cigarette, and they all just like start staring at him. And I think it's meant to sort of, he's feeling like he did in the 50s when he was, presumably. Still in segregation, whatever.
The world's passing by.
But the punks are like, dude, can't smoke in here, man. We're punks. We're rebellious, but that's too far.
Mm. Crossing the line, man.
And he puts it out in his coffee. Yeah. I hate that.
Waste a perfectly good coffee.
But that always happens in movies.
I guess he was going to leave anyway.
One thing, the other thing that really got me about this episode was the fact that when they got the 4400 into quarantine, it seemed like they had them there for a few hours, started doing a few interviews, and then bang, they skip 6 weeks and just release them.
Mm.
That seems incredibly unbelievable. Surely they'd be doing so much analysis on these people, and there's so much in character development for the show that you want to see in that time.
That would have been one of the more interesting parts of this kind of like setup is...
Like surely that's your whole first season.
The aftermath. Yeah. I would have thought so.
Oh, yeah.
You really hit the nail on the head, Jez, when you said it's a really cool, interesting concept that they just take it a kind of a boring direction.
They gloss over to get straight to the X-Men.
And literally, one of the notes I have is a cool concept, would love to see this executed better because you could make this so much more, it's such an interesting premise and start, you could really make it so much better. I would love to see a modern reboot of this where it's actually... They kind of explore a lot of the things we talk about.
Oh, you'd like a reboot?
Yeah, you're right, Aaron. That could have easily... There's so much in there for that to be the first season.
Completely.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they jump back to different characters that we're not introduced to straight away who were part of the 4400 in later episodes. Why not show us what was going on for them?
Yeah.
Maybe they do. Maybe they flash back to the scenes in the quarantine zone. But that just... Hang on that for a bit.
Even as they were leaving, Lily says to Richard, "You've been a great friend to me." It's like, well, we haven't seen any of that.
Yeah.
Why not show some of that to
Tell us more. They had one, they had 20-second conversation. What do you mean, Aaron?
Yeah. Oh, she saw you've got your name, my name tattooed in your arm.
How long does it take for you to have to make friends? You
I know you guys about shit. Like 12 seconds, so we'll get there soon.
Yeah, we're close.
All right. with the pilot out of the way, should we jump into the finale?
I think that would be most prudent.
At the end of the 4400, we've lost a few characters and gained more than a few in return. The show's subtle intrigue has been replaced with the mass drama of warring factions trying to decide whether the 4400, now resembling X-Men characters, should be able to widely release a serum that gives everyone random superpowers.
I'm not going to stand by and watch a militia of positives take command of the city.
Kyle heads up the 4400 faction with a Jesus Christ ripoff messiah, and Danny unwittingly becomes Patient Zero in a coronavirus-esque outbreak that kills half of the population and gives the other half new abilities.
I killed all those people. Danny, what do you mean? How?
What?
It's the shot. My ability. I think I'm infecting people with promycin.
After the outbreak gets miraculously cured by a random medication, Kyle and the Messiah end up on top, and the town is now seemingly controlled by the 4400 with a vaguely bright-looking future.
Terrible episode, right, so, but timely.
Yeah, so
at
it's a completely different show.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. It sure is. A lot worse, I can tell you that
much. The promise of the first episode is just torn to shreds, and what's left is like a pseudo X-Men kind of superpower ripoff that seemed like they were trying to compete with Smallville and Heroes and other shows of the time.
One thing I do love, it's after watching that episode, I'm glad we do it this way, because now I know I won't go back and rewatch this, because I know I don't need to, because I know this is how it
ends.
A
lot of time.
Exactly.
It really feels,
the start
of
season two.
They're both episodes are still, the whole show was sci-fi to begin with, but it was a much more grounded sci-fi. At the end, it's really a very dramatic pivot. It feels Baywatch Nights like, in that it's a completely different theme of the show.
Yeah.
That's what the 2000s were all about, was like very interesting premise, going with some sort of different tone, and then it's just, at the end, it's just everybody's built up into their own factions, and it's all drama and double cross.
Yeah, it gets out of
hand. Just chasing ratings? Like, is that what it is? Like, they just...
Absolutely.
There's no overall vision of the show. It's just, we'll keep pivoting to follow what the trend is at the time.
I think they went more drama for the ratings. And then it got cancelled.
Yeah.
It's easy to come up with like a half interesting initial premise that you can run with for a season.
Mm.
But then once you have to continue on, the stakes just get higher and higher, and it just gets so out of hand.
Yeah.
And so few shows handle that transition to like a larger scale well at all. And this... did not.
Is it a product of like the American approach to making TV, where they don't seem to have like a rough outline of the story and where they want to take it, maybe for the first couple of seasons, but the end goal is to just keep it on the air for as long as possible and make as much money as possible, rather than it being its own sort of self-contained story that they want to tell?
It works really, and you can see it in American television, like it works really well. Well, decently well with sitcoms, because you don't need those ongoing arcs. And like, if they're there, that's a bonus, but that's not really why you're there. Whilst, these kind of shows, it's like Desperate Housewives and Smallville, and they just blow out of control because they're like, oh, you want another season? All right.
Is this how Desperate Housewives went?
Yeah. So like, everybody sort of ended up with these
X-Men powers,
crazy powers.
That's
and,
it's pretty much that's how
vitamins
most shows around that time, they all eventually became X-Men rip-offs.
I remember there was one guy who, whenever he was around people and he took his shirt off, they started bleeding out of their faces. So.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Just so that jacked.
Classic Desperate Housewives.
But that actually kind of happened in this. People started bleeding out of their faces when some guy went near them. Like, it's what you're saying, Scott, is not actually too far from what happened in this show. I think
that's why you were saying it.
I was making a joke, Jez.
you're right. That's out of my head. Anyway, we'll cut that out. But there was probably three good seasons of a TV show in here if you just like focus on the interesting stuff from the first episode. It doesn't make any sense that they, man.
The biggest thing it had going for it was intrigue.
Yeah.
And when did Jesus and they come into it?
I like how they called him Jordan Collier. JC, I like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Subtle.
Really, nailed that one. But I'm just looking at all my notes for this episode, and there's really not a lot of notes. I've got like four things. The biggest highlight for me was probably the opening credits. I just love seeing opening credits from shows back in the mid 2000s.
Yeah, it was a hell of a recap.
Ooh,
it was just overwhelming with so much shit going on, like all these new people, like so much double, triple crossing, people injecting each other in the neck and then being put on some weird IV and like 80 people being kidnapped
But it's also like Jordan Collier is going to take over the city. Like, so what? The government will just come and take it back? Like, the cities aren't little self-contained countries.
But the government were giving it to him to take over. They wanted him to lead it, to restore order.
Morgan, I don't know if you're following American politics at the moment, but federal government doesn't really want anything to do with state issues. So, I don't know. Maybe they just let Seattle burn.
A few more Jordan Collier. Yeah. Mm. It's very timely. So this is the show the world needs right now.
So Jim Caviezel should be the next president, JC. He'll solve all the problems. He played Jesus in a movie.
Yeah. Because he's JC.
What was the vitamin that cured the disease?
Ubiquinone.
Ubiquinone is just an over-the-counter drug that everyone can go out and panic buy, and then we're fine. That's what we need.
What have you got to lose?
That's my and when Donald they're, Trump they're explaining the science by it, he's like, do you think if someone ingested enough of this in a short amount of time, they would build up an immunity? He's like, yes. So it's
absolutely.
It's like just take more of it in it. It's the, very the more good. You can take of it in the shorter period of time, the more immune you are. What sort of drug is?
Jez, as a lawyer, how do you feel about someone giving that advice?
I think it's pretty sound advice. I think you more as a practicing physician.
Yeah, you would know, Aaron.
Yeah, well, I will 100% back that up. In my professional opinion, go out and pump your veins full of disinfectant and no coronavirus for anyone.
If two Panadol tablets, God,
you can get there.
Aaron, I'm just picturing you being like Dr. Spaceman from 30 Rock, just endorsing anything we'll say if we pay you enough. You're like the Tracy Jordan meat machine.
As long as I get my sack with a dollar sign on it.
Oh, my laundry is here.
I'll be Jim Caviezel's chief medical officer.
Two Panadol tablets fix a headache. Then, presumably, if you've got a whole body ache, just take a whole packet.
And then it'll prevent you from ever having a body ache again.
Exactly. That sort of logic.
Immune to body aches.
The cure to pain is in these Panadol paracetamol tablets. Mm-hmm. I've just got to have enough of them. I can become invincible.
You don't want to find out 12 months from now that you could have been taking it. So, just take it.
Yeah. So what else could happen?
That virus is very, very scary, how quickly it spreads and how quickly people die. And they don't seem to be taking it anywhere near seriously enough.
No.
It just gets glossed over, basically.
Yeah, 9,000 people died. Yeah, it's fine, though.
In the space of, a couple of days.
JC sort of makes sense of it all at the end, though.
And those who died are the heralds of a new age.
Just sacrifices on the road to progress.
They were heralds.
And all that happened 8 days after the initial sort of breakout. It's, I guess
9,008 days.
In this pandemic world we live in now, it's time frames are all off.
Yeah, we know how it, we know how it works.
Exactly. There was no bleeding out of your eyes.
We'll win there.
But did they... So they knew this... This was a side effect of the drug that people were injecting to give themselves powers. So they must have synthesized whatever gave the 4,400 powers, and it seemed like it was something that people could choose to be injected with. And that's everyone in this city had taken that drug to try and become like...
I think it was if you wanted to, you could.
And was it just this city, the city or is everyone taking power drugs?
It's like it could either give you superpowers or you could just start coughing up blood and die instantly.
Mm. How batshit would that be if you're like, man, you're in Queensland. There's an option to inject yourself with a drug and you get a random superpower. Like, how would there be no intervention from other places?
No one's sealing off the city.
That was legal. How did that pass approval? Yeah, you just spin the wheel.
Also, it's called Promazone because the place that I feel like this needs a little bit of explanation because I think this is something that I know from watching a bit more of the show. But the people where like the 4,400 people kind of hang out, they end up moving to this town and I think they call it Promise City.
Mm.
Yeah, they do.
Which is what they sort of renamed Seattle at the end. But like they call the drug Promison. Promisone?
Mm.
Get a better name. Like the,
it's full of promise and also no maybe promise. Death.
I hate it when they do that.
50-50 it's like, shot.
It's like, what's that? That Avatar, and they call the metal
unobtainium.
Yeah. Come on. You can come up with a better name than unobtainium.
Yeah, well, they call the ubiquitous drug ubiquizone or something. Oh,
not even trying.
God, the creativity is just. Well, we could have been a writer on these shows. What are you? Just hand your resume in on the back of a napkin, and they're like, all right, you're in.
It's like, give us some credit. But it's never this bad at the start of these sci-fi shows, except for of course Smallville with the electrolyte imbalance, which I'm never going to let go of.
Don't have too much Gatorade, otherwise you'd be able to shoot lightning at anything.
I mean, just they could work a little bit harder in the script, like just anything.
Mm.
Just have more than one writer. This guy's carrying it all. He's just phoning it in.
They were definitely phoning it in.
Oh yeah.
At the end, so a bunch of people, because everyone gets infected, so everyone starts getting these powers, right? And they're showing a few of the powers that people have. There's one guy who was like in the war room, one of the scientists. His new power is like, how did he get there? It's that Rick and Morty scene where he looks at a photo and then he just appears where the photo was and he starts looking around like, how did I get here? But he's not shocked or scared. He's like kind of... hopeful and happy. It's like, oh man, what power. Just look at a photo and I can appear there. What if you look at a photo of space? You're fucked.
What about the guy who
oh no!
What about the guy who cloned himself? Like, kneeling down and then there's another version of him just next to him. How often is that going to happen?
Did some guy tap him on the shoulder and he turned into him? Is that what happened?
I have no idea.
Is it like Agent Smith? Anyone he touches turns into him?
It is a good point that like, the balance of all these powers, the end of the world is imminent, surely.
Oh yeah, it's days away. it's gonna become like the third Matrix where everyone just turns into that one guy that cloned himself by touching people.
Mm.
He's gonna take over the whole world,
because the legalities in the first episode of like figuring out what to do with 4,400 people who return who've been missing and all their like rights and stuff.
Mm.
That is really difficult. Trying to create any kind of laws around magical abilities that have massive social effects is just impossible. Like it'd be
you
chaos.
Legislate sort of what photos that guy can and can't look at.
Yeah,
outlaw all photos.
Maybe Jez, you could if you had some sort of transformative power where you could, I don't know, maybe like be two people at once. You could walk into a courtroom and pretend to be the prosecutor and be the defendant and set up your cases. And who's to stop you?
Okay.
Finally, the ultimate challenge. He's bested every other lawyer in the world.
I feel like we've flown past that what I was trying to tell you guys earlier. I'm not a lawyer. I can't walk into a... In this scenario, Scott, I'm assuming part of that superpower is also then me being a lawyer.
Mm. No.
Promisone can't do that much, Jez.
Jez, I can only assume that you work for ASIO or something and you can't tell us something and that's why you keep denying, but...
I would agree.
We know and our listeners know.
Yeah. You can bullshit everyone else, Jez, but it's not going to work on us.
What were some of the other powers shown in the montage at the end? Was it only those two?
Oh, where the woman... holds a pen and turns it into a lily or something.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was the other one.
Yeah, what's that
power? Turns into a lily. It's just you can't pick up shit. Otherwise, it turns into a flower.
Oh, when I touch things, they turn into plants.
She's not trying to turn into a flower. It's just she's trying to write and it's dumb. These are all really inconvenient powers. These terrible powers.
Can we talk about how just liberally they just throw in that... I forget the character's name, but she's like out of prison or something. And... the sort of head honcho woman of the markers or whatever they're called is like, go kill this guy. And if you don't, we've installed a kill switch in your brain.
I think you're forgetting. We took out a little insurance policy on you while you were in prison. You remember that kill switch that Tom told you about? You're feeling it right now.
What the fuck?
The chicken... She can control telepathically or something.
It's such a like cop out.
What universe is that out of? Yeah. Like that's not in the tone of the show.
A kill
switch.
That's
like James Bond.
It's also like she could just like turn it on and it creates incredible pain. Like, but
just
a kill switch.
We'll just kill you a little bit.
You can just dial it up a little. It's got like it's not like a switch. it's a kill dial.
Remember, we installed the kill dial.
Just a small amount of death.
Exactly. Who is that character anyway?
I don't know. I'm not even going to try.
Brave New World of everyone having powers. We need oversight with everyone having a kill switch.
Oh,
if it gets out of hand,
that.
Just have a man with his finger on the button.
It's a button now.
It's the kill button.
Kill button or kill? What happened to my kill dial?
There's a whole big switchboard with a whole bunch of like dials and what's that instrument that's like the pad that you like slide it and it's like, it's like an electronic music thing.
What are you describing right now?
Like a thing.
Yeah, yeah, with like a square and a thing.
Well, I don't know what they're called.
Scott, don't act like you know what he's talking about.
I know.
No, it's got
like a Korg chaos pad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Matt Bellamy has on his guitar.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Matt Bellamy can have a chaos pad that prevents people from getting out of hand.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. So you get a kill switch installed in you when you're born.
Well, maybe when you have the promozone, part of it, if you get a power and don't die straight away, you also get a kill switch.
That makes sense. That's the only solution, I think.
That's the platform I'm running on as Jim Caviezel's chief medical officer for Promise City.
For the kill dial.
Kill dial.
What do you got to lose?
Yeah. Do you guys have any more for two? Should we go to reboots?
No, I just say fucked it. They fucked the show real bad.
Yeah. They really steered it.
I can't believe how much they fucked it. They just steered it straight into the iceberg.
Oh, yeah.
It became a steaming pile of shit.
And this one hurts a bit more than usual because it did have a little bit of promise.
It's a decent setup.
But it just shows it's easy to do intrigue, but very hard to do any payoff.
Mm.
I didn't see it going this way at all. I thought that the powers would be a bit more subtle, maybe because they hinted the powers in the first episode, obviously. But
I reckon they could have held off the powers till season two.
Definitely, and they could have like started developing in a subtle manner. But
they talked about it. They stripped out an entire season in the first 10 minutes of an episode. They had a great opportunity to make this a lot better, and they just decided. I mean, that clearly wasn't the focus of the show. It's about the powers, and that was which is the disappointing part. So,
well, now we have the opportunity to make it better by rebooting.
We do.
That's our power.
Who wants to kick us off? All right, I'll kick us off then.
All right, you go.
I actually have two reboots, but I can really probably only choose one.
You doubled down on the promozone.
Well, I did. The kill dial. It's inspired me to do multiple.
Yeah, don't make us turn it, Morgan. Use your power wisely.
Okay. So the first one is, it's a game. So basically it's called Returnees. We can all play it together or however you want to do it. Basically, we find a missing person. Mm-hmm. If we're missing for X amount of time. And then we assume.
Sounds like a fun game.
We don't physically find the person, but like we find like the file of a missing person, and then we assume their identity. So it might be someone from the 1970s, and we come back.
Sounds like a fucked up game.
We haven't aged at all. But Jez, this is not just a game. This is more than a game. This is about the thrill of wearing another man's skin, feeling his innermost wants and desires, and being in control of his every single move. That's how you get off.
Mm.
Now, don't you guys want to get off with me?
I do.
I want you to get off with me. So that's how we play Returnees, and I think that would be a really fun game.
So is it kind of like a murder mystery party, but we all play a returnee, and then it turns into like some kind of orgy where we all get off?
That's how you get off. It's just
a murder mystery
game,
party crossed with a orgy.
The game, the game is basically you're just trying to get off.
Yeah, I feel like it's an idea for a themed orgy, right?
4400 themed orgy.
Whoever can get off the most to wins the game. So that's the returnees, the sex game.
Uh huh. Great.
And The other idea I had, I actually like the Returnees a lot more. The other idea I had was, it's just, shit, we'll just move on. I'll tell you. Now, the other idea was, it's called the 15, and it's based on, there's a series of missing Seattle Sonics players that went missing throughout different periods of the, over the years. And the NBA is bringing back the Seattle Sonics, and all these players that, that have been missing throughout the years come back. So, like, from the 1970s, like 80s, and they all come back at once to form 15 players.
Former
Sonics. Turns out the guys from the 1960s and 70s aren't that great anymore.
Compared to modern players. They're like old school, can't shoot the three.
That's actually very similar to my...
Oh, really?
My reboot, yeah.
Yeah.
Please. So, anyway. Go right ahead.
I won't get into it any further then, Jez, because I don't want to steal your thunder. So, we'll jump
across to Jez. All right. A sex game and a new basketball franchise.
Why not?
1-2 punch.
Do it all as one.
So my reboot is at the end of the 30th September 2017 at the MCG. 40 players from the Adelaide Football Club mysteriously went missing and were taken to some unknown location. No one knows what happened to them there. No one. We've heard stories. There's rumors of some sort of cult-like camp that went on, mm-hmm. But no one can explain the fact that they came back. When did they return? I've got the date here. They came back on the 23rd of March, returned to doing what they, you know, used to do so well and loved doing, playing football. But mysteriously, they'd all lost their powers. None of them seemed to be able to kick a ball anymore. They plummeted from first on the ladder to 12th, and it's called the 40.
The 40.
Sounds,
so it's just unpacking the mystery of what happened to those that the Adelaide Football Club between the end of the 2017 season and the start of the 2018 season.
Sounds like a really interesting true story.
Yeah.
It's the only logical explanation, though.
Well, something they got abducted by, who knows? They basically, it's. I feel like we can... You can really run with this.
I would love to unpack that further, but I think it's a different podcast you need to unpack it on.
Anyway, that's called the 40.
I like it.
Part fact, part fiction. What's to say that they weren't driven to the Gold Coast in a giant ball of light?
Who knows?
My reboot is a quick TV movie spinning off from the first episode with Lily and her husband. So instead of just... Well, we don't know what happened. In this version, in this TV movie, Lily hangs around, wants to get back into her old life because she still loves her husband. So using her mysterious new superpower, she uses this to kill his new wife and remarry the husband. It is called 4400 Wedding and a Funeral.
Ooh. Will Hugh Grant be playing the husband?
Oh, yeah. You better believe it.
Wedding singular or wedding plural?
Yeah, we'll start with wedding singular and then maybe... we've got scope for more spin-offs of this. Mm. So it's a whole new franchise. Can't go worse than the original series.
I'm just imagining wedding videos now. I don't know why. You make a series of 4,400... You just cater to... Anyway. So... I'm gonna crack in with my reboot. So this whole thing, as you guys have sort of alluded to, felt a little bit culty. Definitely by the end of the show, definitely some cult elements. You know what cults love?
Kool-Aid.
Well, there's that. What else do they love?
Polygamy.
Oh, you're close.
Sex games.
Arming themselves against.
They love sex games.
Oh.
So, welcome to the 4400, which is the latest dating app. Now available on the Google Play Store and iOS Store. So in order to join, you must have some sort of unique sexual skill that separates you from everybody else. And there can only be 4,400 people on the app at any one time. So somebody uninstalls it and then it opens up a space for somebody else.
List or something.
It's very exclusive. I like to think of it as a cross between Tinder and like an MCC membership sort of thing. Right. You sort of pass it on through generations.
Oh, there
and so you're basically just guaranteed a completely unique experience whenever you sort of swipe and hit somebody that you sort of you match with. Everybody's got their own, you know, and there'll be some sort of internal app team that'll have to have a verification process to verify that you actually do, you do have a completely unique sexual maneuver.
maneuver.
And you say so it's limited to 4,400 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very exclusive club, like a cult.
Can you name 4,400 different unique sexual abilities?
Jez, I only need one.
Well, I assume Morgan's in there because he's the best at wearing another man's skin.
Okay, all right. We're going to have to get weird with some of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you only have to have
very,
one to get in,
very
Jez.
Weird.
The burden is spread over 4,399 other people.
But at one end of the scale, you'll have some people that are, you know, like really great kisser. And then at the other end, you've got some guy that can remove his own arm to fist.
That's not unique, Jez. Like, being a great kisser is not unique.
No, I know, but like in that... Okay, all right. That's not unique enough?
No.
I was thinking of something that would be really, really tame in comparison.
If you're thinking of applying with that, maybe go back to the drawing board.
What if I could remove my own arm to fist myself?
Can you do that? Look. Is it like a Lego arm? You just pop it straight off?
You get in? Sounds pretty unique to me.
Comes right off. All right. I'm in.
Member one.
Yeah, right. The 4,400.
So right now it's just Morgan and Jez.
You got to start somewhere. I can wear another man's skin, and Jez can pop his own arm off and piss himself.
And I can fist that other man with a disembodied arm.
Wonderful.
Well, hey, look, we're testing out this app so far, and so far so good.
It's in beta testing.
We're having the IPO in June.
What a weird thing. So it gets passed down from generations. Can you imagine like your parents sort of saying, now, son, you've got to take up the family mantle of being... We're a family of disembodied arm fisters, and you're going to have to learn how to do it. It's your destiny to take my spot in the club.
What is
you don't have to keep the same. You don't have to keep the same maneuver.
Oh, it could be a different maneuver.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You just I thought it was like your family.
You don't have to go to the MCC dressed up as your dad. Like
I thought it was kind of like Game of Thrones style, where your family sigil was what you were good.
Jez, you come up with the weirdest sexual stuff on this podcast. I sometimes wonder what you think we're doing here.
Well, I'm just trying to, like, if you got to think of 4,400 unique sexual
abilities. You think about taking your
all be unique, though. But if we're describing this to the people.
Yeah, sure.
All right, fine. Yeah, you're right. I guess every individual has to think
you're
going to
be marketing for the
app. I'm going to say, if you're the 4,400th person to join, you can be like, oh, all right, can I maybe do this? And they're like, no, sorry, that's taken. You're like, all right, can I do this? And like, no, that's taken.
You just have your application.
What if I just take my arm off and fist someone with it? They're like, not taken. All right, you're in.
Scott, would the
that's what I'm saying.
Would the Leary
you're running out of options.
Scott, would the Dawson Leary jacking off to the town crier, would that count as a sexual thing within a sexual power to take to the 4,400?
Absolutely, yeah.
To borrow another sexual thing from Jeremy. What?
Yeah, they've got to be in the room.
I mean, yes. Jez, you can probably also have sex with a car. That's one of your favourites.
Oh, yeah. Well, how's that of any use to other people on the app, though? Because I'm assuming they sort of use them.
I mean, if you know, you maybe can only... JB Smoove as a Honda Civic can join the app.
Yeah. And he lets people...
There's a cavalcade of TAS favourites.
There's definitely a menage a trois sort of option for this, for the app. It's versatile.
Anything goes.
If he has a sort of, a conscious car, a la cars, who's aware of the fact that he's a car and is alive, but people can still get into him. Like, is that a threesome if two people have sex in a living car?
I think they still have to have sex with some part of the car.
You'd have to ask the original writers of Herbie.
But you're rolling around inside the car, Scott. You know, like
they wrote the lore for this.
Exactly.
You're touching the surfaces. Like if two flies flew into your mouth and started banging, are you considered as like partaking in that? Or
that is not a sentence I ever thought I would hear in my whole life.
Is that a threesome or is that a twosome inside your mouth?
I don't know.
Do you have a list, Aaron? Or
I don't want to
ponder.
Because I don't think you couldn't ask the creators of Herbie if that counts. I think what we do need to do, we need to ask Disney,
Cronenberg,
who owns the rights to Herbie, if that counts, and then we can work our way back from there.
And then we can answer Jez's fly question.
Lindsay Lohan ever get it on in that thing? And if so, was the love bug in on it?
How many flies were in her mouth?
Oh, it's like a Tadakan sex
as in,
situation.
All right,
we got a list. Do we have a list? Because we got to get away from this.
All right. The IMDb list of the week is 4,400 sex moves that I would like to see on the 4,400 dating app by Jeremy Wiseman.
Nice. I'm glad he got there.
Yeah, I can't believe you found that.
Yeah. No, that's not it. That's not it. It's a different list, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently this week as well. So I'm going to read out some names on the list, and I want you guys to tell me what the common thread is, what this list is about.
Okay.
So
okay.
Right off the bat.
They're all messiahs.
Could be. Malcolm McDowell. Ian McShane.
Oh, who's Ian McShane?
He's in
They're
Deadwood
all McSomethings.
And
Pirates
of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Mahershala Ali. John Bernthal. Corey Stoll. These are all great names. Titus Welliver.
Ooh, yeah.
Any ideas?
Are they bearded men?
They're not.
No, Mahershala
Ali. Bearded men. Beard.
They're all men?
They are all men, but that's not the list. All right, do you give up?
Are they all men who've had sex on screen?
Are they? Could be. I don't know. That's a different list. But this list, I can't believe you guys didn't get it, is people that have yet to appear on Criminal Minds.
Ah, of course.
How didn't you see the common thread there?
I have egg on my face now. I can't believe I didn't pick up on that.
For shame. For shame. So this is from SteveD739.
Steve D, that's a list of like 7 billion people if you really get into it.
I think you'll find it's 125 people, Jez. Criminal Minds has been on air for over 10 years now, and despite how many people have appeared on the show, I'm always surprised by how many people haven't appeared on the show, especially since most of them appeared in multiple shows similar to Criminal Minds and its spin-offs.
That's probably why they're not doing it.
So he's compiled a list of 25 people who haven't appeared on Criminal Minds.
Just answered your... He just answered his own question in his description.
So it was updated 2 months ago, so he's keeping,
Scott,
keeping the list.
Don't try and find the logic in this list.
No logic
it's not
in
there.
Stevie D's head.
And he's gone real obscure. Like, those were the few people who I recognised. And they're not exactly household names.
Let's throw us an obscure one.
James Morrison was in an episode of
24. These just like prolific TV actors, I guess.
I think so. Stephen Weber. Jonathan Silverman from Weekend at Bernie's. You know, all these
Charlie
guys.
Chaplin.
Yeah, there's probably a few extra names that that could go on the list.
You'd think so.
I noticed that...
Why are they all men, though?
There's Judy Reyes, who's Carla in Scrubs. She's on the list. I noticed none of us are on the list, so...
That's a shame, yeah.
Yeah,
we
were all...
I was in it, yeah. I was in the fourth episode of the eighth season.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I had a like nice five-episode arc in season three.
You weren't appearing as the arm removal specialist?
I was, but it was like a, you know... I just created a backstory to my very insignificant character.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, final thoughts about the 4,400. I think we've unpacked it pretty well. I don't think any of us will be going back to revisit this.
No, I can think of at least 4,400 things I'd rather do before I... is that a list of the week?
Could be.
I kind of got the impression that you, Morgs and Scott might go back and revisit the first season.
I reckon I'll finish the. I might finish the first episode just to see what happens. But I'm not going to go back and watch it all. Not knowing where it goes.
But you could. I reckon the first season. I've seen it a few times. You give it a good go.
Maybe I'll give it the first season a go.
If I didn't have so much to watch already in this coronavirus age, maybe I would. But I've already gone through three times probably. So
that's probably enough.
Give it one. I give it. 1,236 stars out of 4,400.
Hmm.
Right, so I don't give it quite fair. That many. okay, maybe I think we've taken this as far as we could possibly go, so we'll probably just leave it there. If you can jump on your favourite podcasting app and rate and review, that is always very helpful, or jump on our website and throw us a suggestion, always appreciated. We'll call it an afternoon. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Jerome.
Thank you very much.